Hello and welcome back to the Drinking Liberally podcast, the show that combines good alcohol with some friendly political banter. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson, and sitting across from me is my co-host, Jeff Fenner.
How's everybody doing?
Jeff and I are recording a quick episode for you all as we prep for tonight's debate. We're recording this on Thursday. So we're going to do a quick episode that will drop on Friday, which is probably when you'll be listening to this. But be on the lookout for our debate takes. We're going to be bringing the mics to our debate party, interviewing some of our attendees, and just giving our thoughts on the entire process. And hopefully it's not dumpster fire.
Yeah. You excited for tonight?
I am excited. Yeah. I didn't get to go to the last debate party that we hosted. Yeah. So this will be a good opportunity.
You were at the debates, as we told everybody.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, crap. Did I just blow my cover? Yeah. Oops. So yeah, I'm very excited to see what the turnout's like and talk with some like-minded people, maybe some non-like-minded people. Who knows?
Preferably.
You never know who's going to show up. Yeah. We just put it out there.
You've gotten some weird phone calls? And
I have gotten phone calls from a number of people because I accidentally put my cell phone number on the invitation.
I had to, too, when I was signing up for the Pete one last time. Yeah.
So yeah, word to the wise, don't put your cell phone number on something that goes public like that.
I take it the other way. You really care about our democracy, and you're a man of the people. You want to let them reach out and make sure they can get there to express their opinions.
I pulled a Beto and just gave out my personal number.
You are, you're a man of the people, Kevin.
So look forward to that. That'll probably be dropping early next week. So we're very excited. We'll be dropping some extra content for everybody. But today, we're going to keep this pretty informal. Jeff and I are doing a little pre-gaming for the debate. We'll talk, of course, about what we're drinking, and then just kind of shoot the shit about some topics going on. So first, a little
primer.
Yeah, a little bit. So let's talk about what we're drinking first. And boy, oh boy, do we have a whiskey for you all today. We busted out the big guns in prep for this debate, and this kind of blew me away.
Yeah.
So we are drinking Pikesville Straight Rye Whiskey. It is 110 proof. That's 55% alcohol by volume. It's aged about 6 years and distilled over in Bardstown, Kentucky, as whiskey typically is. And it comes from the Heaven Hill Distilleries. Now, they say they've been made since the 1890s, which very impressive.
Yeah.
Going back, there's some legacy there. And wow, I've got a lot to say about this whiskey, both good and maybe just not so much my taste.
Yeah, so you go first.
So, I mean, just a little bit about it. It's a nice copper color to it on the pour, but let's talk about the taste and the smell. So the smell, we've got cherries on full force with this whiskey, which, again, is kind of common with some whiskeys and bourbons there. A little spice and vanilla to it, but cherry all around. And boy, oh boy, does it remind you that this is 110 proof.
Ooh.
Sometimes you get that ethanol just peeking right through the cherry, and it hits you. And when it does, it'll clear those sinuses right up. Gave Jeff a quick sip of this, and what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, as you all know, I don't tend to get as technical as Kevin on some of these drinks. And the first thing it brought to my mind was, if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, whenever I'm like really, really excited about something or I think something's moving in a good direction, Kevin's always there to pour some water on top of it. And as soon as I had a sip of this whiskey, I was like, Kevin does not feel good about these debates. I'm like, nothing against this Pikeville Straight Rye. I think it's got a place. But as soon as I had a sip of it, I was like, Kevin's ready for this maybe not to go fantastically if he's drinking that. And that was my thought, Kevin.
You think I'm busting out the big guns to mentally prepare myself for tonight?
Because you love to pour the water on the optimism. And this was your version of the water tonight. I was like, okay, this is where we're going.
I would 100% recommend getting yourself a nice whiskey cube for this one. Let that soak down a little bit.
Maybe some ginger ale.
But it's certainly something else.
If you're looking for something that's a sipping whiskey, powerful, is a really good drink for that. It's just, it's 110 proof for a reason. It's very, very strong. Any of you out there listening that know me know that I can take the whiskeys. This one's, woof.
Yep, you got it. You got that right. It's a sipping whiskey for sure. So we'll put that to the side right now. That's our drink of the week. It's the Pikesville Straight Rye Whiskey.
Straight.
It is straight, yes, for sure. Well, now that we've got the drink discussion out of the way, I thought about bringing this up at the top, but we'll do it now, Jeff. I got a little bone to pick with you.
Yes.
What's this I hear about a golf outing that you were recently on?
I did. I went and played Trump National in Colts Neck, New Jersey.
Can you say the name of that place again? What?
Trump National in Colts Neck, New Jersey.
You know where the door is, my friend. Just get out.
I know.
Get out.
I tried to see from the other side. I will tell you, the outing there was for a very, very good cause. It was for a local college, and a lot of money was raised, which is fantastic. So the good stuff was happening. Donald Trump was not there, nor any of his family.
Well, that's a positive.
Course was very well maintained. The spread was amazing, and they did a good job, I would say. I felt better about it because it wasn't Bedminster. We haven't heard about Trump taking the helicopter to Colts Neck.
Right.
I think this is the overlooked course, like some of his children.
it's the Tiffany of golf courses. It's
the Tiffany of the golf courses. But no, good day. It went to a good cause. They gave us a ticket when we got there, and we got to go into the pro shop and get a shirt. And
no, you didn't.
I did. I had a nice little ping polo shirt. And I thought I picked the one that didn't represent the course. I got home and realized on the sleeve it was embroidered with Trump National. And it fits well, and I'll probably wear it. So judge me how you will.
Wait, I've got a question. So do they sell MAGA merchandise at his golf courses?
They actually didn't.
That's surprising to me.
I will tell you, take this how you will, it was staffed fully with young white males. From every asset of it, other than the caddies. So,
yeah, that tracks.
Anyways,
yeah,
I don't want to go any further into it, but I just want to let you know.
All right, well,
you want me to go further on that?
No, I think we're good. I think you painted a picture for us there.
My caddy, though, by the way,
you had a caddy,
fantastic human being. Is caddying there because his son is a scratch golfer and is very close to making the PGA Tour. He was phenomenal the entire day. Did not hold where he was working against him whatsoever because make money. That's what we're here for. And I thought everybody was really great there as the staff, even the staff I was just mocking a little bit. But there was definitely a trend that I noticed that was pretty easy to pick up on.
That sounds like an eventful time, and you better not be showing up with these
Trump
2020 shirts.
I was like a spy. I had to go on the other side sometime.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Let me spin this in the best way possible.
I like that.
Had a good day. Shot plus two as a group.
All right. Good for you. It's funny you mentioned spies because that's actually something I really want to touch on. Did you see this story about the spy in Russia that had to be extracted?
I got a little of it. You're a little more versed on it, so.
Yeah, so we'll just give the cliff notes for the listeners. And so apparently the CIA had essentially a mole in Putin's orbit over in Russia that was so close to Putin that he had like personal access to his office and was able to photograph things from Putin's office that he could then send back to America, which, man, that's a really high level asset that the CIA had. And it turns out that we had to pull him out of Russia because the CIA was concerned for his life, which, okay. Yeah. I guess that probably happens to spies a lot, right? You don't want to be burned.
Right.
But then the reason why this man's life was potentially in danger is astounding to me. So it goes a little further, and we have to go back to 2017 when a couple of Russian diplomats visited the White House and were in the Oval Office with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump told these two Russians at the time a little too much information about an ongoing operation,
no.
I guess we'll call it. Right,
no.
Yeah. The guy likes to brag about everything. Brag to the people you shouldn't brag to. And at the time, if you'll remember, it actually put the life of a Israeli spy at risk because it's not like he outed the spy and said, hey, here's their name and where they're working. But he said enough about the information they'd acquired that you'd be able to kind of work backwards and say, all right, we got this. Well, how could they have gotten it? Well, it could have only come from these areas. And if it came from there, then it's probably this guy. And really boil it down, which is so, so dangerous. So apparently, from that point on, there were real concerns about this Russian asset as well, that Trump might have burned this guy. This guy who apparently has been in the Russian government spying for the U.S. for decades.
Wow.
Which is incredible to think about.
Good for him. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got a little ways to go with Jeff with your mole activity on the golf course, but you'll get there. You'll get to that Putin's level pretty soon.
Well, when you talked about this topic, I was a little confused because the news had come out this week about the U.S. government concluding within the past 2 years that Israel was behind the placement of cell phone surveillance devices that were found near the White House and other sensitive locations in Washington. The Trump administration did not rebuke the Israel government at all about this, even though that they had good information that this was happening. So I was just confused about what spying thing you were
going towards. So, yeah, I wasn't even discussing that one. Yeah, that's a whole nother topic. But I could see, because Trump has such a tight relationship with Israel and Bibi over there, their leader.
And Russia.
That he doesn't really see any of these issues as being dangerous to our national security.
I don't understand why this isn't a bigger story. I mean, burning our own informants that have embedded themselves deeply into hostile governments should be one of the biggest stories, right? I mean, this should be talked about all over the place.
It's nuts. And this particular spy actually ties into the election interference debacle as well.
You don't say.
Yeah, he's one of the key assets that provided information that let us know that Putin himself had directed Russian assets to get involved in the election, whether through trolling farms or bot farms, botnets like that.
Yeah, we don't get into conspiracies, but, you know, connect the dots.
It's crazy.
They're now trying to go after Australia, though, because they think Australia was involved in the Russian hoax, as Trump calls it.
Sure.
Yeah. we're really targeting the right places.
Absolutely are. You had mentioned, you know, why this wasn't a bigger story. You know why it wasn't a bigger story, Jeff?
I do not.
Because we're still talking about the hurricane map.
Oh.
Which we touched on in last week's episode, jokingly, as our fake news of the week with Donald Trump.
It became real news.
Oh, yeah. Really did.
He burned everybody that's in science again.
We ended the story because we brought you up to date on where it stood.
Yep.
Where Donald Trump had edited a map so that he didn't look like he was wrong in his forecast. And then it turns out that when he was rebuked by the, you know, National Weather Service, that Wilbur Ross, or Secretary of Commerce, essentially went out to them and said, take it back or we'll fire your people.
The NOAA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's come out that Wilbur Ross wasn't the only person in the cabinet involved. It came directly from Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. He told Wilbur Ross, go to the National Weather Service, tell them that Trump's upset that they contradicted him publicly, and that if they don't change it, they're fired. Which is so scary to me, because we touched on this a little bit when we brought it up last week, but if you're that thin-skinned that a weather forecast doesn't go your way, that you have to go and threaten people's livelihoods to make them agree with your twisted worldview, then what happens when something that really matters doesn't agree with your worldview? Like, what happens when voting tallies don't come up the way Trump wants?
Oh, we're going to see in 2020. Don't worry.
Like, at that point, he's going to scream and say, this is not what I heard, and say, well, recount this or you're fired, or make it work in my favor or you're fired.
Yeah, we're...
Like, that's scary.
We're 3 steps from dictatorship. Thank God dropping nukes on a hurricane really wouldn't change their course, because I have zero confidence that if he could have not turned that towards Alabama, he would have tried just to make his story right. And we talked about this, and not to make light of it, this really affects people's lives. Like, if you're not given the correct information, when to get out or if you don't need to get out. I had a lot of friends I worked with when I was in the travel industry that lived in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And I'll never forget the story they told me. They told me that, you know, the police and the National Guard came to them and said, listen, you have to leave now. It's your choice, but if you don't, we're not coming.
Yeah, because then you're putting rescue first responders' lives at risk.
Like 0% until this is over. And, you know, it all seems like fun and games, the Sharpie thing. But if you give people bad information and they don't make life-saving decisions, if they do make life-saving decisions based on that information, you're legitimately putting people's lives at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this was so easy to walk away from. It was so easy for him to, like, just put his people under the bus, got bad intel, I was wrong, move on.
Yeah.
And this would have been a four-second story.
No, he can't be wrong.
I know that, but, like, we've had these stories that are really serious last 30 minutes, and now this story that was just such a ridiculous thing, it's gone on for weeks.
Yeah, I wish we didn't have to keep talking about this. Again, seemingly inconsequential story, but it is just so revealing about how broken Donald Trump's brain is. And I just can't let these little things go.
Yeah, I mean, to finish up the spying thing, New York Times reported that in October 2018, going back to the Israel getting cell phone things in places in Washington, the Chinese spies are often listening to Trump's cell phone calls, which prompted Trump to slam the story as so incorrect I don't have time to correct it.
Oh, which, really? Yeah, because usually he has plenty of time to
try and
correct
it. He's the president of the United States. Yeah. It's crazy. And it all comes back, and not to rehash history, but all these stories about Hillary and her emails, and now, like, we have absolute intelligence that people are in Trump's everything, whether it's his kids with the emails, him with the cell phone, it's actually happening, and we're still worried about these emails.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with what Jeff was talking about there, like Jared and Ivanka, so Trump's daughter and son-in-law, have been using personal email addresses to conduct government business, also had their own private email server, which, man, that sounds so familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, and tried to set up back channels.
Yeah,
with
that
communications
too.
With Russia.
Yeah.
Right behind our own embassy.
Yeah, so it puts a neat bow on this whole spying topic, because I'm sure spies are having a field day with this family.
Yep.
Doesn't care about security at all. And if you're someone that cared about it when Hillary was running for president or when she was Secretary of State,
and you cared about her emails,
then you should still care today. Because if you don't, then clearly ask yourself, you know, why do you only care when it's the other side doing it? You should care both times.
The Republicans in the House and Senate have luckily had other news to grab onto. I don't know where we're going next, but there's a full-fledged, as of today, Twitter assault on the impeachment. Jim Jordan, a lot of other people really just going in like, we're here. We were done with this with the Mueller report. And just again, guys, don't get this confused. It's all trying to divert your attention from the mess that's going on the other side.
Yeah, it is a distraction, and we should be focusing on, you know, things that matter, like upcoming elections, and, you know, one that actually took place this week. We had a special election over in North Carolina for a congressional district. Essentially, we had to have a second election because the Republican Party was caught cheating last November.
Yeah.
They had hired people, and we touched on this in a very early episode, where people from the Republican Party went door to door collecting other people's ballots and then either throwing them away or changing what was on those write-in ballots, which is so scummy. And they got caught doing it. Like, people got charged with a crime here. So it's not something that's made up or the liberal left screaming about. Like, this was a crime. And it was so big that the Republican Party had to admit, yes, you got us. Let's do another election.
Yep.
So they did that, and Republicans ended up winning even in this new election. So there's a few takeaways from that. One, it is a red district that Trump won by, I believe, 12% in the general election. And honestly, it was more competitive than it had any business being. The fact that a Republican won isn't super surprising. Again, it is red county out there, red territory. But the fact that a Democrat made a run twice, but back in the midterms and now in this special election, should really worry Republicans, I think. regardless of the final outcome of this. I think it shows that the divide is really closing in some of these areas, and Donald Trump's got a lot to worry about.
I get that. And for the first time in the history of drinking liberally, you're going to have some optimism and I'm going to be pessimistic. The fact that everything you just laid out, they cheated to try to win the first time, we still did not win the second time, is just a reminder to everybody listening to this, vote. Do not look at these polls that Trump is way down. He's down with white women and black women and educated people. Vote, 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 because it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of this gerrymandering is going to take care of this cheating stuff. Like, we have to come out in full force, not only at the end of this year, but in 2020. Vote. Please, God, vote.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Problem is, even when we have, you know, people voted in, we have one party that doesn't seem to want to adhere to the norms or the rules anymore. And that's the Republican Party, if you couldn't guess from the tone of my voice. But if Democrats were to do the same thing, they'd scream and cry and it'd be all over the news. Now, I'm not saying Democrats should be cheating to win elections and things like that. We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. That's the difference. But if one side is just blatantly flaunting the fact that they can get away with murder, like, it's really hard to have a fair game, right?
Let me ask you a question. You know, Dennis comes on our podcast a lot.
And who?
He brought Dennis Skeet. He brought up the fact that, you know, the Republicans are not playing by the rules, right? And we are, to the most part that we know. Let me ask you personally, is this an ends justify the means situation? Because we have seen, you put somebody like Trump in power, how much damage it's done. And if you're on the other side of this and you make billions of dollars for a corporation, it's helped you, still ends justifying the means, right? You can overlook a lot of bad shit to be like, oh, here's the good stuff that's happened. Do you think we need to pivot at all? Is this, like, are we going to hold ourselves to a moral high ground to the point of ruining our atmosphere, economy, you know, just immigration, all of these things? Like, have you pivoted at all? Are you like, shit, just get this done?
No, honestly, it's like the one sticking point for me where, because if that's the one thing we can't compromise on, and it might sound naive and stupid in this world that's not black and white politically, but if we're going to just discard laws or norms that we've had in this country that we built the country on for the sake of winning, then you're no better than the Republican Party. I don't want to vote for them either then. In that sense, I'd say you'll burn the whole institution to the ground rather than play their game.
And I get your point, but if they're in power, we're burning other parts of it to the ground. Like, now that we have scientific data, that we have red lines, right, on especially like the climate, mm-hmm. we're starting talking about 4 more years is a big, big deal. We don't have 50 years to figure this out. By some aspects, we have 10, some have 15, some have 8. With data behind them. So we can't realistically, with good conscience, throw away 4 years because we want to make sure we're playing by the rules. Like, because if we play by the rules and they stay in power, we're now really, really behind the eight ball on some really important things for our country.
But you say in the world. You say in good conscience, but I couldn't in good conscience cheat to get to that point. Like, what are you suggesting that they do doing differently?
I just throwing out questions to you. I don't know what we could do. We're not in power to change these. If we were in power to change gerrymandering, we would have done it. We're trying. We're trying to do it the legal way, right?
I just don't know what you want to pivot to, because the Democrats, they have a messaging problem, definitely. That's their biggest problem, is that
we're all over the map.
Yeah. They can't convince the electorate in the way that the Republicans can, where they can coalesce around one message. And I think that's because there are so many different versions of Democrats across this country. Like, centrist Democrats are still very much a thing in parts of America. And then you have the further leaning left liberal Democrats who don't necessarily see eye to eye. Like, for this podcast, I'm part of every candidate's, you know, Facebook group, and I follow them on Twitter and all that. And I look at the interactions between even Democratic, like you would think, compatriots there, but they'll trash talk the shit out of other Democrats and policies and things like that, rather than just saying, you know, for the greater good, let's beat Donald Trump. So I think maybe that's number one, just figuring out the messaging aspect and make it palatable to more Americans, because it's all over the place, like you said. That's the biggest thing.
The whole I see is, I see a lot of Republicans, and I'll read a tweet in a second from Matt Gaetz. They have done a really good job of convincing people that don't follow politics day to day that they're not in power. You know, Matt Gaetz today tweeted out 6 out of 10 Americans oppose impeachment. And he basically warned the Democrats, if you keep pushing something 60% of Americans opposed, you don't stay in power that long.
That's weird, because 90% of Americans support background checks for guns, yet Republicans are still in power. So,
but if you watch outside of Trump, everybody else, they are pushing the narrative that they don't have the decision-making process in any of this.
Right. No, it's sexy to play the victim.
And we don't. And we actually don't have it, and we're not pushing that. We haven't been out front enough, I think, saying we've seen the gun control. The Democrats did an amazing ad where everybody sat down, the candidates. I don't know if you saw it. They all got on there and talked about gun control. It was Kamala, Pete, Bernie. It was an incredible ad. We're not doing enough of that. I think that some of these really swing states may really believe right now that the Democrats have power in some of these decisions, and we just don't. Like, we have no gun control, those things, we have no room to stand on. They're not even voting on it in the Senate, and that has to happen. I think we're doing a really bad job of getting that message out, that we're stuck and there's nowhere we can move this. Because even Trump will come out and say, I want to push this policy, and it may even be a good policy. And he's like, well, Democrats won't play ball. So I think the message is out there to everyone that it's the Democrats have the power and they're not playing ball. And Kevin, you're a little bit smarter about this than I am. In my mind, that couldn't be further from the truth. We couldn't move one thing across if we needed to.
No, I mean, how many bills has the House passed, the democratically controlled House passed since the midterms, that just never even brought up for a vote in the Senate?
Would you agree we're doing a really bad job at getting that message across?
Oh, I definitely think so. And I think the number one problem with it, though, yeah, I'll blame some Democrats for it and hold them accountable. Like, Nancy Pelosi has not been great about messaging anything.
It's so good
since,
off the rip, yeah. But now not.
But it's tough when the most popular news, quote-unquote news network in America is essentially a propaganda machine for the right wing. Yeah, so if we have Fox News that's just plugging around, I know a lot of people that just watch Fox News only. And so when I sit there and wonder, like, why isn't this topic enraging this everyone? It's because they don't even know this topic exists, because Fox News isn't covering it. Or they're covering it in a different manner than everyone else. And when they see that, they'll say, well, if CNN's covering it differently than Fox, it means CNN's lying. And that's really, really tough to go up against. And, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's possible to win this in the right way. We've seen that happen. We've seen it without cheating. We've seen it work in the midterms. We just got to keep that momentum going and can't get complacent.
Can I ask you a follow-up question to that? So Pete's gone on Fox News. There's been other candidates, and they've been slammed. So kind of following up on what you're saying, that this message needs to get out on that network, do you think the rest of the Democratic candidates are dropping the ball and not accepting invitations or pushing to get on Fox News? I'll take it a step further. I think one of these debates should be done by Fox News.
Yeah. So I went back and forth on this all throughout, you know, leading up to the midterms, and then still go back and forth on it. But where I land currently is that, yeah, they should go on Fox News.
Yeah, we got to get it out.
Go on there. I know the DNC doesn't want to, quote unquote, reward Fox News with a debate, but it's the only way you're going to get in front of a certain portion of our electorate.
And the numbers are there.
Yeah. It's the most popular network. Yeah,
nothing you can go against it. The numbers are there.
And they'll tune in, even if it's just a hate watch. But if you get in there and you can just, you're not going to convince the majority of people. That'll never happen.
Pick a couple off.
Yeah, pick a couple people off. or at least just plant that little like earworm, just that idea that they hear and like, oh, well, that actually kind of makes sense. And I hate that candidate, but I like that idea. And then once you get that policy built up, and you can maybe then start campaigning on policy again instead of personalities, which is the way it's been the last 4 years.
I mean, if, like you said, and I agree with you, I don't want to get this twisted. I think we have to win this the right way. But I think winning this the right way, the stepping outside of the bounds of what we're doing might be engaging Fox News. It might be trying to get in front of it and let them incentivize them to death to host one of these debates. Just get it in front of that audience. Let them listen for a little bit. I mean, Americans aren't stupid. Like, there are some people that are Republican or Democrat to death, and it doesn't matter, right? But there is a very vast majority of people that have common sense, that listen to issues, decide how it affects their life personally, and vote based on that. And I think we're doing a disservice to a very, very big part of our country by just saying, they're propaganda. No, we're not paying attention to them. And I think we got to shift. I think we got to go on the offensive. We got to attack. Just shying away from the bully and being like, oh, I'm just going to avoid him at lunch so he doesn't take my money is not the way we're winning this election. It's time to stand up and be like, nah, man, here's what's going on. And I think we're really dropping the ball here.
So on that note, talking about winning it the right way, we're going to head over to our debate party now, wrap this episode up, and hear some ideas from our top 10 Democratic candidates and see how they plan on taking on Donald Trump and addressing the policy issues that face this country. So we'll leave you all then with some just quick rapid-fire things to keep an eye on. And number one, we'll talk real quick about the impeachment topic. I know the I word is just not one anyone wants to bring up, but House Democrats are talking about it. They're actually going to make a decision on whether or not to bring up and draw articles of impeachment shortly. So more to come. Next on our list, the number of uninsured people, health insurance-wise, has climbed for the first time since Obamacare was implemented, which should surprise no one with the individual mandate being repealed last year and just Trump gutting the marketing budget for Obamacare in general.
They've decided that an irregular menstrual cycle is now considered a pre-existing condition, which from what I read today is 15 to 25% of our population of women have this situation.
Jesus.
Again, not something me and Kevin are enlightened to talk about, but I did see that today and I was like, you know, they talk about giving birth as a pre-existing condition. Now they're attacking the menstrual cycle. Like, if they repeal this, no one's going to have insurance. Yeah. It's going to be the most incredible.
That's their dream.
You're going to have to pay thousands of dollars to be insured.
And then finally, National Security Advisor John Bolton is unceremoniously kicked out of the White House.
He resigned.
Yeah. He resigned. Donald Trump says he's fired. I think we all know that Donald Trump doesn't actually fire anyone personally. So
this is a tough subject because we're going to trust Bolton now. It's just bad.
No. So on that note, we're out to get that debate party started. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have a special episode dropping early next week with our post-debate thoughts. But until then, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at @drinking_libpod. Or check out our website at www.drinkingliberallypod.com. And of course, rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. We truly appreciate everyone that's done it so far. We'll talk to you all soon. Cheers.